to all of you. And as I said, this morning we're going to be looking at hope, something I think is very important, as we'll see, something that we need to hold on to and cling to. I've titled the message this morning, There Is Hope. And our passage, if you'd like to turn there, is 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. And we'll read that together in a second. There is hope. During World War II, a Nazi warship torpedoed a U.S. submarine and sank it. A distress signal was immediately sent out to help the sub. When another U.S. vessel got on scene, they spotted debris and oil on the water. They sent divers down to see if there were any survivors. The divers took their knives and tapped on the hull of the ship. They heard taps from the inside in Morse code. And the tap said, "Is there any hope?" I believe that is what the world is asking today. Is there any hope? Satan has torpedoed our world, and we have sunk to the bottom morally and spiritually. People are wondering if there is any hope for my life, for my marriage, for my church, for my country, for my future. They are in the depths of despair. If Christ lives in your heart, there is hope for you. God has given you a living hope. And he's given us this living hope with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As I said, the title of our message today is There Is Hope. A few months ago, I talked about hope as well. Hope in hopelessness. And in that, we looked at the disciples who found themselves in what they thought was a life or death situation when a sudden storm came upon them in the Sea of Galilee. Even with Christ in the boat with them, they thought that there was no hope. But we know with Christ, there is always hope. Then on Christmas morning, we looked at hope has arrived, love is alive. We know that hope and love come as a baby in Bethlehem. With Christ, we have hope. So today I want to look again at this living hope we have in Christ. It's exciting today to know that we have a living hope. Today, when Satan wants us to think that all hope is lost, and we should no longer try, and we should just give up, and we should go down with the ship. No, we have a living hope today. No matter how bad things might seem, no matter how bad the news channels want us to think it is, we know the truth. We know that we have a living hope today. We're going to look into this living hope. There are passages in the Bible where more of the great fundamental ideas of the Christian faith come together than this passage. Is there any hope? This passage screams out, yes, there is. Together, 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to this great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. So first we want to see there is hope for those who are in Christ. God is the source of our hope. The source of our hope is very important. It's everything. The story is told of two hunters, Larry and Elmer. While hunting, Larry and Elmer got lost in the woods. Trying to reassure his friend, Larry said, "Don't worry. All we have to do is shoot into the air three times. Stay where we are and someone will find us." They shot in the air three times, but no one came. After a while, they tried again. Still, no response. When they decided to try once more, Elmer said, "I hope it works this time. We're down to our last three arrows." See, they were putting their hope in what someone told them to do if they got lost, but this was assuming that they were hunting with guns. So if you shot in the air three times a gun, someone would hear it and come, but not so much if you shoot an arrow that no one can hear. They had good intentions, but poor execution. Their source of hope was in something they were told. People in difficult circumstances often rely on advice from friends, family, or so-called experts. Now, experts are good, and God gives people to us that can, especially if we're talking about careful who and what we put our hope in. Peter gives us the answer of what we should put our hope in. Verse 3, we see, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hope is vital. In fact, it's critical. It's critical for our everyday survival of life. Many years ago, French scientists once experimented on a criminal who had been convicted of murder and sentenced to death. The condemned man was strapped to a table and told that an artery in his arm was to be severed and that he would bleed to death in a matter of minutes. The scientists proceeded with the experiment, but they only made a very superficial wound on the surface of the man's skin, not enough to kill him. But didn't tell him. They poured warm water over his arm, which he thought was his blood. In just a few minutes, he died because he had been convinced that there was no more hope. Hope is vital to our life. It is said that man can live about 40 days without food. I don't know if that's true or not, but that'd be awfully difficult. Said only about 3 days without water, and only about 8 minutes without air, but it said only 1 second without hope. When we speak of this type of hope, we're not talking about the kind of hope we all have when we go away on vacation and we hope to have nice weather for the week. We hope it doesn't rain whilst we're away. That's not the kind of hope that God is talking about here. This kind of hope could best be described as an attitude of confidence, expectation, and trust. We see that there is strength in hope. Hope is only as real as its basis. As we talked about our hunters, Larry and Elmer, they put their hope in something they were told, but it had no bearing if you were hunting with a bow and arrow instead of a gun. The basis of our hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christianity raises and falls on this basis. This reality puts Christianity into a realm by itself. This reality gives us hope in every situation and in every aspect of life. Are you lost in the woods when hunting? We have hope in Christ. Are you recently diagnosed with an illness or disease? You have hope. Have you recently lost a job? You have hope. Have you recently lost a loved one? You have hope. What is so wonderful about this hope is that you do not have to do anything to get this hope. Well, that's not exactly true. We see from our passage, we must be born again. You must have salvation in Christ through grace alone and faith alone to have this hope, this living hope. The nature of this salvation as a new birth according to the mercy of God evokes praise to God, the Father, who is the source of our salvation. The new birth is the work of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus taught us in John 3:3-8. We all know this passage when Nicodemus is talking with Jesus. John 3:3-8 says, "Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to be born. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. We are all here today, physically, so we have all been born of the flesh, or we would not be here right now. So we know what it is to be born of the flesh, but have all of us here today been born of the Spirit? What does Jesus say to enter the kingdom of heaven? He's talking about that first step of salvation, the act of putting your faith in Christ alone, through grace alone, in faith alone. It's an act of faith that gives us this hope. We know today that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. We owe a sin debt we could never afford or ever pay, no matter how good we think we are, no matter how often we attend church, no matter how much money we donate to the church. We can never meet the expectation of a holy, just God. So God, in his steadfast love, as we talked about this morning, in his steadfast love, he sent his Son to die and pay the debt for us. In his holiness, he demands something we could never do. So he gave us the solution, his Son dying on the cross for you and for me. So we do not have to. He died and rose from the dead, and in his death he paid the sin debt that we owe. And through faith in him, and through the confession of sin, and asking him to forgive us of our sin, he pays that debt we owe and could never be able to pay for ourselves. We see from this passage today that according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, he died for us in the most gruesome way. But it was not only his death. We know many people have died. Many people had been killed and crucified. But it was his resurrection from the dead that gave us this living hope. It was his resurrection that changed everything. He died and was buried, but he did not stay in that tomb. We know 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering death and sin for us. We as believers in Christ have a living hope because Jesus has been raised by the Father. Titus 2, 13 through 14 says, waiting for our blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify to himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. This hope is further described in verse 4 as an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The concept of an inheritance is one of the major biblical themes and stresses family connection and gifts. As Paul wrote to the Galatians, God in his grace gave it, the inheritance, to Abraham through a promise. The inheritance is kept or reserved by God for his people in heaven. We see verse 4 of our passage today, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We see that there is hope for those that are in Christ. We see there is power in that hope. And now we see the substance of this hope is the inheritance that is awaiting us. The substance of our hope is the inheritance that is awaiting us. He's speaking of the conversion moment. Do you remember when you had that conversion moment in your life? At that moment, you became part of God's family. The result is a hope that permeates all of life. It is a living hope. How can this be? How do we have this hope? It is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope in Christ can never perish, spoil, or fade. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb on that very first Easter morning. She was the last to leave the cross and the first to the tomb. She loved Jesus so much because he had transformed her life. He forgave her sins. He cleansed her life. He changed her from a life of immorality to a life of purity. She came because she did not want to give up the presence of the Lord. It is imperative to be born again. When we talk about this, as is the only way to have this hope, this living hope that permeates our entire life. Heaven is our perfect home. Imperishable, verse 4 uses the term, imperishable. It is incorruptible. Nothing can ruin it. We will have a perfect body, a perfect home. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.'" Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is pure home, undefiled, as it says. It is undefiled. It cannot be stained or changed. And heaven is a permanent home, unfading, verse 4 says. It fadeth not away. It will not fade like this earth does, where it corrupts and dies. It will retain its beauty forever. Heaven is our promised home, we see, where it says, "Kept in heaven for you." Heaven is a safe, you can say heaven is a safety deposit box where God is guarding our inheritance. There is hope for all those who worry. Most of us keep up with what is going on in the world. I would be worried if I didn't know Jesus. People worry about jobs, future, retirement, and they are afraid to face a new day. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? For you are with me. If we want to talk about a passage full of hope, look with me to Psalm 23. I'm going to read Psalm 23 to us. I'm sure most of us know it. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And I wanted to say another translation of this verse translates it this way. "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." So instead of saying, "I shall not want," it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." Can you imagine if we went through this life truly believing that if we have Christ, if he is our shepherd, I have all that I need? I think it would completely change our life. It should completely change our life and our outlook and our perspective. But that's an entirely different message for a different day. So back to Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," or "I have all that I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." forever. This psalm is full of hope. This is the same hope that you can have today. Are you worried about today or what tomorrow will bring? Perhaps that big bill that is coming due or a car repair that is needed. Don't worry, have hope. If the Lord is your shepherd, you have all that you need. Look to the living hope, not to this world or to what we can do and how we can fix something. If we try, we will make it worse every time. Look to Christ, the living hope, who is sovereign and able to give us the confidence and assurance we need in this life and in death. Are you walking through the valley of cancer or death or loss? That could be loss of a loved one. Could be loss of a relationship. You will never go through the dark valley alone. I'm sure all of us have witnessed people walking through some dark valley, some hard time, with a song in their heart because they had hope in Jesus. They have a living hope in Christ. And also we see there is hope for those wondering in doubt. The disciples huddled together in fear after the crucifixion. The doors were barred and the windows were locked. They were talking in hushed voices in fear. They thought he was dead and gone. Their hearts were filled with dread. Suddenly, Jesus appeared, the living hope. Thomas was not with them. The disciples told him, but he did not believe them. But Jesus came a second time. Thomas saw him and knelt in worship. "Thomas, I am alive. Touch me and see for yourself," Jesus told him. Some of you may be experiencing doubt. You may have made a decision. You were baptized. But you may be asking, is the resurrection true? Does he really answer prayer? He says, "Come and see. I am alive." He gives us hope in despair. We now look at verse 5 of our passage. "Five who by God's power are being guarded through faith for our salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." God's people are described as the ones being guarded. This is a present passive. The NIV translates this passage, "who are shielded." This points out that it is a continued activity of God in their lives. This is not a one-time protection or a one-time guarding. He guarded us once at salvation and that's all. No, it is present. We are being guarded through faith. Whilst the phrase "through faith" stresses the believer's activity, the divine protection and final salvation are only for believers. The salvation ready to be revealed in the last time looks at the final aspect or realization of what Christ has already done and what we have and enjoy, a living hope in Christ. Let me ask you today, this last Sunday of January in the new year, 2023, we have to believe that this year is going to be better than the last 2 years, right? My question is, this new year, what are you putting your hope in? Is your hope in your 401k? Is it in your retirement plan? Is your hope in your family or friends? Is your hope in your job? Is your hope in an expert who's going to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise? Or do you have a living hope in Jesus Christ? We know this is the only hope that we can have that will give us true confidence in tomorrow. This is the only hope we can have that will give us peace in the storms of life. This is the only hope we can have when it seems like the world has gone crazy and it might feel like there is nowhere to turn, but we can always turn to the living hope of Jesus Christ. Romans 15 and verse 13. "All joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In this passage, the expression, the God of hope, means the God who inspires hope. He inspires hope and imparts it to his children. He can be counted on to fulfill what yet remains to be accomplished for them. We see this in Romans 5 and verse 2. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Likewise, in the more immediate future, and with the help of Paul's letters, they can confidently look to God for the working out of their problems, including the one Paul has been discussing in his letter. Hope does not operate apart from trust. In fact, it is the forward-looking aspect of faith. We see this in Galatians 5 and verse 5. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. And then also 1 Peter 1:21, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Faith and hope are in God. One commentary on this passage said, Paul, in his pastoral zeal, is not satisfied with anything less than a rich, abounding experience of hope, even as he expects from them an overflowing of love, of pleasing God, and thanksgiving. The reason for this is that God, who is sought after, has also so wonderfully abounded in the experience of his grace that he can be expected to enable his people to increase in the manifestation of Christian graces, especially as this is ensured by the power of the Holy Spirit, who indwells and fills the inner life. So today, please don't be like hunters Larry and Elmer, who had good intentions and shot the silent arrow up in the air. Instead, use a cannon, fire it 3 times. Put your faith and your hope in what is true and sure. Put your hope in Christ, for he is our living hope. I would like to read to you the words to the song, The Solid Rock, that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, O may I then in him be found, in him my righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Do not put your hope in sinking sand today. Put your hope on the solid rock of Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, our Heavenly Father, this morning we look that is found in Christ Jesus. Lord, we praise you for the steadfast love that sent your Son to this earth as a baby, as a sign of hope and love. And Lord, we praise you for him paying our sin debt on the cross. But Lord, we know it wasn't just an act on the cross, but it was his resurrection that gives us this living hope. Lord, it was the resurrection of Christ that changed everything. So now, Lord, in that moment of resurrection, you conquered sin and death. And Lord, because of that, we can now have a living hope in Christ, secured in heaven. So Lord, today I pray that as we go forth this year, as we look to starting a new month, as we look to the beginning of this new year full of known and unexpected things, Lord, I pray that our hope would be in Christ, Lord, I pray that we would have a living hope in you and in you alone. Help us to be a people with Christ as our shepherd. I have all that I need. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.